All right, gentlemen, I suppose we have to get back to the serious issues. We started off the program, or started off the big show, Derek, a couple hours ago, and just kind of talking about that whole idea of quitting. I know that's an easy one, and you know it's easy to sit from above and watch and go, oh, they quit, or this guy's quit, or they quit on the coach, all the quitting things. And I think we've all been around enough athletes to know that, while I suppose it can happen, sometimes it's less about quitting and more about just not working. It's just not trying too hard, not at your best, not in your zone, not anything. Having said all of that, does anybody see elements of the Flames quitting on the coach, on the season? Is that word need to be applied at all with this team right now?
To be honest with you guys, I think belief was lost. And I'm not sure exactly where along the line it was lost, but I can probably point out a couple of games. Maybe it was the Sharks game last Friday that I called the biggest game of the season. Maybe it was the Golden Knights game on Sunday, where the Flames did a lot of really good things. We're up 23-10 on the shot clock, and on the next two shots, we're down 2-0 on the scoreboard. But when the guys walked out of the arena that day, T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, I just saw this look of disbelief, of disappointment on their faces, and maybe that was the moment. Or maybe it was the next night when they lost to the last overall Coyotes and got swept on a two-game road trip. But I think it's more just a lack of belief that things are going to go their way this season, because for so long, things haven't gone their way. Probably going back to the CBA-mandated five-day break, when they went into the break with seven straight wins, in second place in the Pacific Division, and certainly on the climb. And ever since then, it has been a struggle for this team. And you know, last night reminded me a lot of the three games before it, where the Flames got off to a really good start, needed something good to happen early, and nothing good happened early, and then things quickly collapsed on them. I mean, down 1-0 after one, they kind of stuck with it, continued to play the right way, and then before you knew it, two bad goals against, and you're down 2-0 and 3-0. And that's when I saw the wind really come out of their sails and the air come out of the building last night. So I don't think they've quit. I just think they are so frustrated right now, and just they don't have the answers. And when you've been looking for answers for a long time and can't find them, I think you get to a point where, as a human being, yeah, you get so frustrated and so upset, you don't know where to go.
Yeah, I think the way you put it there, Derek, is the way that I would put it too. I think what instead of them quitting, I just think that there is a big time lack of belief at this point. I think that there's, and I think that's understandable. But I think they've kind of just said, geez, like what's it going to take for things to go our way? And I think that to me, because, you know, there's a number of different things that you could point to that maybe that would be the thing. But I mean, I think last night you're in a situation where you're down 3-0 after 40 minutes of play. And that third period didn't look so much to me as a team that was saying, we're quitting. It was more like, what else do we have to do? And that third period was hard to watch last night. Down 3-0, it ends up going 4-0. And I just thought it was a real indication of a team that has just kind of been mentally pounded, and we're in a spot where they're just having a tough time believing that anything they do is going to go their way. So guys, and I'm curious as to how you guys react to this, because Will asked the question a few hours ago, you know, when did this kind of start to turn? And there's so many different, and our text line blew up with it, about different examples about this was the turning point, that was the turning point. For me, I point to that 2-1 loss, or whatever it was, the 3-2 loss or 4-2 loss to Vegas, when they had the lead late and it got away from them. Yeah. And the reason I pointed to that game in terms of when the belief started to waver was because they had won 7 in a row, then had extended it to an 11-game point streak, even though they had 4 straight losses, and that was the first regulation loss, and that's when it started to turn. But Derek, I mean, I don't know if you can actually pinpoint one moment. That's one that I would point to and say that's kind of when it started to turn for me, but I think you could point to 10 or 11 different moments where it might have started to turn.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there are a number of turning points in this season, but you know, that's a really good one, Pat, because they played a heck of a game against the Golden Knights and let it slip away late. I mean, 58 minutes of really good work, 2 minutes of really bad work, and all of a sudden you've lost, and your point streak is over, and you're left looking for answers. So I think that probably was one of the bigger turning points of the season, and quite frankly, You know, the Flames, until the last week, were still very much in the mix for a playoff spot in the Western Conference. As a matter of fact, going into last Friday's game against the Sharks, they were 5 points out of second place. You win that game in regulation time, you're 3 points. And I really think that that would have helped build some belief in the group that not only they could get stay in the playoff race, but potentially get into a top three spot in the Pacific Division, if not, then one of the two wild cards in the Western Conference. But, you know, I think the Sharks were just okay last Friday. The Flames probably knew that they were ripe for the picking, but couldn't get the job done. And one thing led to another, and then a loss to the Golden Knights, and then a loss to the Coyotes, and most recently a loss to the Ducks in a game where I thought the Ducks were okay at best. So I think this team is mentally worn out right now. And, you know, there's no one to blame but themselves, and I think they know that. But even though they haven't been at their best, I still think that their luck hasn't been at its best either. I think there are a lot of things conspiring against the Flames right now, and more than anything else, just the way they've played this season, their lack of consistency, their inability to win at home, their trouble dealing with adversity, their inability to score on the power play. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, but they haven't had a lot of luck, in my opinion, either. And when you have four really good starts in a row and you lose all four of those games, I think it just really wears on you mentally. And you do start to ask yourself the question, what do we have to do to make things go our way? And now they're at a point where they know they're not going to get to the playoffs, so I think it becomes even more difficult now. But there are a lot of turning points, and one also has to be the loss of Mike Smith. I mean, they were right in the thick of it when they lost their goaltender February 11th, and yeah, they probably win at least two more games with Mike Smith than they do without Mike Smith during that stretch. And how much does that change the playoff picture?
Yeah. Well, and that, you know, I guess, Pat, since you asked the question, I'll take a stab at the answer.
Yeah.
You changed my mind 4 years ago. You remember that St. Louis game, which Winnipeg gave up a bad goal. Pavlik, I think, gave it up.
That's right.
Really bad goal. And I came on, and I sat there, and I pointed my finger in your chest, and I said, that's it. They're done. You never recover from those kind of games. They recovered from that game and made the playoffs.
Yeah.
That changed my whole attitude on one game dictating future. Derek kind of alluded to it. To me, it was the injury to Smith, and I have this anticipation that, okay, good, now we can see David Rittich get an opportunity that he wouldn't normally get. He'll run with the ball, and he fell flat on his face. And I'm not blaming him for the season. I'm just saying that period of time, that leaked air out of the balloon, and they became very, very vulnerable. And it put a lot of pressure on the shoulders of Smith when he came back, and it's been rocky at best. He has one win in those six starts. He's been pulled twice. He has a save percentage of .861. I just think, as opposed to a single game, I just think the fact that a young goalie wasn't ready to pick this team up and carry it when it needed to be carried for as long as it needed to be carried showed a little bit of lack of depth in that position, and they haven't recovered from it. And I think a result of that has become, I said the word quit, that's the wrong word. Belief is the right word. They don't believe right now. They believe something bad will happen to them. They don't believe something good will happen to them.
That's it, 100%, Rob. It's like they're just waiting for something bad to happen, even though they're going out there and really trying hard to make something good happen. And, you know, you look at last night's game, I don't know if you guys agree or disagree, but I thought their fourth line was their most effective line. And I think that's another part of the problem, is that the Flames' top players, who get a lot of ice time and are given a lot of responsibility, they are fighting it so much right now, and in some cases fighting it physically. Sean Monahan, Michael Backlund, those guys are clearly not 100%. They're playing through issues, and I think we're going to find out they're fairly significant issues, at least in Monahan's case, when the season comes to an end, and maybe before that if they decide to shut him down, if he needs to get something done. But, you know, I think those guys that have been carrying this team on their back for a good chunk of the season, they are just at a point where nothing seems to be going their way, and I think you guys would agree with this. I know that in my life, when I'm frustrated, it makes everything else that I do way more difficult. And I can only imagine how frustrated the Flames must be right now with not only the way things have gone recently, but with the way this season has gone. There were really high expectations internally and externally. And
absolutely,
this team has not played to those expectations. So they're a frustrated group, and I really believe that that frustration has just continued to build and build and build since the five-day break, since the All-Star break, since the trade deadline, since Mike Smith's injury, since Matthew Tkachuk's injury. I think it's just continued to pile on and just made life way more difficult than it otherwise would have been.
All right, last one for you. and this one's a little bit of a puzzler, or maybe it isn't, I don't know. Why haven't I seen Nick Shore? Why? What am I missing here? Is he hurt? Is there an injury here? Why? I understand positions, I get that, and maybe we refer back to that all the time, but it seems to me other centermen have played to the wing. I don't get why I'm seeing Glass, I don't get why I'm seeing Stewart when I'm not seeing a guy that is potentially contractually obligated or could be contractually obligated to come right back as an RFA. What am I missing here?
Probably the same thing that I'm missing, Rob, because I've okay asked myself the same question. I do wonder if the Flames had been closer to a playoff spot, if he would have been in and Mark Jankowski would have been out. Because you look at the last really good game that the Flames have played, and Mike Smith was brilliant in it, and they don't win it without him, but I think they were good in front of him. Really good defensively in that 1-0 shutout victory over the Oilers. And guess who played third-line center in that game? Nick Shore. So I've been wondering the same thing, and you know, I think really it's a question that we've got to ask to Brad Treleving or Glenn Gullitson or maybe both, because Nick Shore is a guy who in his two games with this team has impressed me, even more so in his second game than in his first game. And I think when you're having a tough time keeping the puck out of your net, whether that be because of defensive breakdowns or goaltending, I think you want to have the best possible defensive lineup on the ice that you can. And I think that Nick Shore is potentially an upgrade in that area for the Flames based on what I've seen during a small sample size of a couple of games. So it's a great question, Rob. I don't have the answer, but I think it's one that one of us needs to go try to find to get.
Yeah, and I mean, there's been a couple of interesting lineup decisions down the stretch here. I thought, and I mean, I don't know what.
Can I just say that I don't think it's the difference. I know I'm not sure this is pushing them into a playoff spot.
Yeah.
It's more a curiosity to me.
Yeah, and I mean, look, I mean, they put Rasmus Anderson in because Rasmus Anderson, I think we all agree, was the best option for them at the time in terms of the injuries they've had. You know, I think that he's an upgrade on Matt Bartkowski, so you put him in. You know, I look at Nick Shore, and I think that there's pretty good argument to be made that Nick Shore is an upgrade on Chris Stewart and an upgrade on Tanner Glass, and even if he's playing on the fourth line, like, I don't know if there is a... Is there anything wrong with having Stajan and Shore on the fourth line? If you really want to keep Jankowski with Ferland and Hathaway or whoever, and you really want Jankowski to be that number three center, then have Shore and Stajan on the same line. I mean, there you've got the ability to have guys who can take faceoffs, and Shore's a good faceoff taker. Stajan's a good faceoff taker. They're both, I think, very similar players in terms of how strong they are defensively. I don't think that Stewart or Glass are really pushing you forward offensively right now, so I don't think that you're losing anything there if you put Shore in. So that certainly is a bit of a head scratcher for me too.
It's a little bit like calling the front desk on the Titanic as it's going down and asking for towels. But at the end of the day,
it's not an
right
analogy.
But
like
no
that.
but it's when I'm sitting there going, I'm not sure what I'm missing here.
Marty Jelena did say something to us in the postgame show last night, Derek. He said, you know, I kind of asked him, okay, what is the message now going forward? As much as mathematically there's still a playoff chance, I mean, we all realistically know they're not going to the playoffs. So what is the message? And he kind of said there's going to be some guys who get opportunities. And I wonder if I'm very curious, for instance, what we see at practice tomorrow in terms of what those lineups might look like. I'm very curious if we see TJ Brody come back this year, if we see Matthew Tkachuk come back this year, if we see Sean Monahan maybe shut down. I really wonder a lot about these things. And if any one of those things happen, it opens the door for maybe some players we haven't seen as much of. And as you said yesterday, Derek, I don't think it's necessarily guys, it's not 2 years ago where we see a bunch of guys recalled from the American League. It's more guys that are with the organization right now and with the big team right now. But I wonder what things might look like if a couple of those things happen.
Yeah, and I've got to believe, guys, that the reason Nick Shore wasn't in is because the Flames thought that the other guys who were in brought something to the table that they were missing and were potentially higher upside I really believe that that has to be the case. I don't see any other reason why Nick Shore wouldn't have played if they thought that he was their best option. So I think they were doing what they believed was best for this team and gave them the best chance to win. And one thing that I've learned in all of these years covering professional hockey is that, you know, even for the people like us who are around this team every day and watching them and listening to them, we don't know the whole story sometimes. So that's why I think it's important to ask questions. And one of us will have to ask that question tomorrow when the team returns to the ice for practice. But I do think we're going to see some fresh faces in there, and wouldn't completely surprise me if this team decided to shut one or two or three or four players down. Can't help but wonder about TJ Brody and Matthew Tkachuk and Christopher Stieg, who were all out last night. Sean Monahan, who hasn't been practicing with the team or taking morning skates with the team. Even Michael Backlund, his injury doesn't seem to be quite as severe as Sean Monahan's. But, you know, if these guys are dealing with things, it is maybe time to take a look at taking them out and putting some of the other bodies that you've got around in. And the other thing about Nick Shore, I think, and it's the reason why we're all asking this question, is because of the extra bodies they have. Tanner Glass, Chris Stewart, Matt Barkowski, even though he's a defenseman. These guys don't factor into the Flames' plans moving forward, at least not in my opinion. But Nick Shore probably does. As a matter of fact, looking ahead, guys, and I don't know if you agree or disagree, I think he's probably the favorite to be Matt Stajan's replacement as this team's fourth-line center next season. So I know I'd look to get a look at him moving forward. He's a restricted free agent. The Flames control his rights. They can sign him, probably get him at a pretty good price. So I'd like to see him down the stretch and see what he's got to offer.
Good stuff, guys. We will reconvene tomorrow and get some thoughts as the Flames head off to San Jose for an afternoon game on Saturday. Derek, enjoy your evening.
You too, guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.